Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Got Captain Chip Wingo in here this morning. And we got Kale
Wilson.
Wilson.
Got it.
There you go.
He's in my phone. From Kale Florida Fishing Products.
So we got Kale of Florida Fishing Products here. And how do people contact you?
You would rather contact the store here? You can call our headquarters. Mm-hmm. We're in a lot of retailers here, so you can always call, the local retailer. Most retailers have the products, but if you go on Google, type in Florida Fishing Products, our number will come up, and you can give us a call if you got any questions on what setup's going to work best for a certain application.
When they type in Florida Fishing Products, that'll give them your headquarters number.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. That'll get it's all on Google, and it's going to be that's kind of a cool part about our business is we are small. We are all fishermen. So whether you talk to me, whether you talk to Kyle, Kenny, Ty, we're all knowledgeable enough to help you build a setup. If you say, I want to catch trout and redfish and throw artificials, we can kind of point you in the right direction.
So, Captain David, if you're still listening, I hope that gave you some information there. I've got a text from Captain David Borries about contact information. So,
yep.
And of course, y'all sell all the products, well, I say locally, but it's in St. Augustine at the Fish Bites.
Yep.
Trading Post.
Yeah.
Resellers Reef has them out in Orange Park.
There you go.
Oldest City in St. Augustine's got them on that old shop over there. And we're growing. It's been fun. We offer a fishing reel. So we got that saltwater series in a 3,000 through 8,000. It's going to be just a workhorse reel. You can use eights for tarpon, bull reds, whatever you got. And then the carbon edition is a 1,000, 2,500, 3,000, and 4,000. That's going to be your finesse reel, whether you're fishing snook, redfish, trout, cobia, triple tail. And then we also offer some fluorocarbon. Fluorocarbon is awesome. From a non-biased standpoint, that stuff is serious.
That's great.
We did with that fluorocarbon is it's pink. We call it coral. We're actually word on the street is we're going to have some clear here soon, 100% fluorocarbon, but what we tried to work on with that stuff is the memory. We got it in 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, and 80, and especially on your inshore sizes. I don't know if you guys throw a fly rod at all, but the 15, 20, 25, and 30 has about 75% less memory. So if you buy a high-end spool of fluorocarbon, you pull it off and it's just all coiled up.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, man, it's got a little wave to it, but, lot less memory. So when it comes to tying knots, I really don't think there's much like it. It's pretty sweet
stuff. I guess the less memory make it less brittle, I reckon.
Yep.
For when you're tying.
It's for abrasion resistance. I know I was just talking to Chip and he said they do have snook up here, which that's something I didn't really realize. And snook are the number one line destroyers. A lot of the guides in Tampa Bay will tie on a giant leader just because they know every little snook they catch, it's going to fray it up a little bit. But it does have some abrasion resistance. We've landed some snook in docks that we should have never landed with fluorocarbon. it does really well. We actually have a guy out, I think he's either in California, Arizona. It's Pyramid Fly Company. He runs fly trips on Pyramid Lake. They got a lodge and stuff. And I guess they have high alkalinity in their water. And he said it destroys, it's worse than salt. He said it'll destroy everything. He's like, you wouldn't believe that what this does.
Yeah, if it's worse than salt, that's bad.
Yeah. I said, I didn't
that's
know
that's horrible.
Yeah, and he took the fluorocarbon out there. And he's an honest guy. This guy don't sugarcoat much. He said, I'll try it, man. Let me see some of that. And he called me back. He said, man, I've never had fluorocarbon hold up in this alkalinity like this. You're on to something here. He's on me to make the 8 pound for him for his fly stuff. But, it's really good stuff, man. We worked on it for a while. The main part was that memory.
Good.
Yeah, on my fly, people put on, I laugh because they buy tippets, you know, to put on, like, when, and I, most of the fly fishing I do now is just the flood tides and the cast and blast, mm-hmm. you know, where we're sight fishing reds and shooting the Martians.
That sounds just.
It's a lot of fun. But I use straight fluorocarbon on the fly rods because you're in the grass, you know, it's abrasive and everything else. And I just got to the point where I went straight fluorocarbon on, on all the fly stuff that I use instead of, using it. I like the fluorocarbon you guys have. Mm-hmm. The FG knot ties really well to it. It has enough sponge. It's what I call it, enough give to where you can cinch that braid around it. And I use 30-pound primarily on my charters with 20-pound because with the FG knot, it'll reel straight into the reel. Mm-hmm. And we have so much oysters, rocks, yeah. and abrasive stuff here that, and it's dark. Our fish don't care.
That's
with
what
lures, anything yeah. they don't care. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering that. You know, with the color of the water here and the clarity, yeah. you know, how much you know does that matter? You know,
it does at certain times of the year.
Yeah, yeah, we get a little clearer. Yeah,
amber clear is what yeah. we call it. But yeah, the fluorocarbon is really nice. You know, when I did that last seminar, you know, we had stuff we gave away, and I was like, I don't want to give this fluorocarbon away. But I'm like, everybody, you know, the guys that came out, they were all happy to try it, and I got phone calls on it saying they like it. Where do I get it? And I was like, well, call them, call here, you know.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Yeah, I want to go over and fish Tampa. I like fishing different areas.
Yeah, come on over.
You know, and the funny part with snook is the experience I've had with them is you have to downsize. You know, and then if you've got mangroves, if you've got docks, you've got to have something that's strong enough to get them out.
They're smart.
Yeah.
I mean, these fish, they didn't get big from being dumb, I'll tell you that. I've had a couple just, you know, no chance. I mean, I've had one that was probably the biggest snook I ever hooked, and I had a 5,000, and there was no stopping this dog.
No,
I mean, he took me 60, 70. There was one pylon near me. I mean, one piece of structure he could get to. And he took off 50 yards to that pylon, wrapped around it, and the fun was over. And I'm sitting there just sad, like, wow, that was quick. But the big snook are super smart. And then, you know, we have – it's different. So if you have, you know, a really good grass flat, you know, generally speaking, the water's going to be a lot clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to sight fish. And that's something that I was asking my buddy I was fishing with yesterday. I said, you know, do these fish see you? You know, because that's a huge bonus. You can get a lot yeah. closer to them here. In Tampa Bay, man, you pull up on a redfish 5 feet away. Sorry, buddy. It's too late. You know, that thing's gone because he knows you're there. But yeah. I figure here, you know, how close can you get to some of these fish?
And you say 5 feet away? You can't get that close here.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, they'll know you're
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
they feel us yeah. with our boats, the redfish especially.
Yeah, you know? they've gotten smart here, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk about how smart fish get, and people are like, well, they got the brain size of a pea, you know, but no, I mean, they have, it's an animal. They have a learned behavior, you know, and I mean, they know to go to the shallows to get for bait. They know, you know, they learn everything. So they have also learned how to get off your line. They go yeah. around the oyster bed or
yeah.
trolling motor. I mean, if they get anywhere close to it, they're going to wrap that thing around.
How often do you guys lose fish to oyster? I mean, it's got to be all the time.
No, not really. It depends on how you fish it, you know.
Just tip up real high and keep them yeah. up.
Sometimes yeah. you can let them, you know, if they're going to hit it, round it or whatever, you can just, you know, step up on your deck and hold your pole up and let them go all the way around it. You know, once they do that and pass it, they don't usually turn and go back, you know. Mm-hmm. Get them on out away from it and then start fighting them again, cool. you know, bring them on in.
But yeah, it's so funny because we'll work so hard sometimes to get our clients so close. And you're like, whatever you do, don't move, don't do anything, and somebody will slam a hatch. Boom.
Yeah.
You watch the whole school pick up and move on, and we're like, all right, we'll go somewhere else. They're still yeah. right there. Well, that over there is like 8 inches of water, yeah. you know. And it's, you know, even the guy on the bow fly fishing, if he rocks, he'll get that pressure wake going.
That whole yeah.
flat. You'll see mm-hmm. him go. Yeah. Just the pressure wake of the boat moving.
Wow.
You know, that lateral line lights him up, and it's like that with a lot of fish, but
yeah, they've learned. They know what a boat is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of it.
Yeah,
you know, and of course they know if there's a boat there, there's a hook there.
Yeah, I think they know if your boat's there. you've caught enough of them.
Give us a call 222-8255, and we'll be back.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And, we have quite a few tarpon up here, but we don't have them, like, through the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes every once in a while, you'll get some early, like down in Palm Valley or something. I don't know if they get lost or what happens, but they, you know, get them early. But normally here we have, you know, they'll come in and then they'll stay here right up to about the end of October, sometimes the end of November, depending on their mullet run.
Yeah. You know. Is there any creeks that have the residential fish, you think?
I have some spots I fish that have residential tarpon. I actually caught one in January or February.
Yeah, I know. I was
shocked. Little bitty one on an artificial.
That's the best.
Yeah. And that DW lure I like to throw, this guy makes these handmade balsa.
Oh, cool.
They look like a Miradine type shad.
Sweet.
But, we have some areas that have juveniles that are resident fish. And then, you know, we get the migration that comes through, especially when we get the mullet run. When the mullet run happens here, it's just off the charts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's National Geographic watching blow out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
They're harder to catch when it's like that.
Yeah.
Because they're gulping them down.
No, they got so much to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got, when you do that, you got those like 15 to 30 pound jacks are all in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, I mean, it's just amazing.
Does the mullet come up in the river?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We call that Duval Trevallis. I love those things when they come in.
That's cool.
Let's get Stephanie on. Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? Awesome. And you?
Good. What's up, Chip?
What's happening, Steph? Steph is the, she's an amazing golfer. She won't talk about it probably, but
oh, is this Mike's daughter?
Yeah.
I'm amazing at hitting houses with golf balls.
A lot of people are good at that.
I would never want to live on a golf course, except for the bass fishing.
My father-in-law, he lives about 240 yards on the right side of a fairway. He can't keep him out of his gutter.
Yeah.
No, No, that was one thing when we moved in to the community. It was like, well, we want to be with the golf course, but not on the golf course.
Yeah, I've heard so much about you from Mike, and you know, you're golfing, and it's just amazing. And I know he's so proud of you.
Oh, thanks. I like the fish too.
She's awesome with that.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of some nice catches.
Yeah, we got to win that Bull Red tournament next year, Steph.
That's what I was gonna say. I told Dad, I was like, I already looked and I checked the date. I made sure I put it in my calendar so I take off for that day.
Yeah, the running or the hunt. What do they call it?
It's running.
Running with
bulls?
The bulls. Yeah,
full of
bull tournament. Yeah.
No, that's it. Yeah,
I almost forgot about it. Yeah, it's nice because we tag them also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we tag them.
Yeah.
So where do those fish normally move?
They go everywhere. Really? I mean, they find them in Daytona, further south. They find them up north.
Yeah.
You know, they come in and go.
That's cool.
But Steph's our angler for that. We just let her rock it.
There you go. I like it.
Oh, we had a blast. We had that was a lot of fun last year. We caught some pretty good ones on. Well, we had a mix of the gear going too. We had a couple of the heavier and a little bit of the light, and both were so much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you have a bunch of Florida Fishing product stuff too, don't you?
Yeah, all mine is. I have all of it.
You got to keep it in the family.
That's it.
Oh, I love it. I have my light gear for the. We just moved, so we're on a pond now, and I've got my small one out for the backyard, and I've got like a little fan, you know, that I can keep under my patio. And I keep that out there so I can go in the evenings, and then we've got our other stuff for when we go out, like when I go with Dad and you and we go out the Intercoastal. Like Dad and I went out last week. We went in the evening one day and we almost had a slam. I caught a nice flounder and a couple reds just south of the marina, and it was a blast. We had a good time.
Yeah, I'm showing pictures right now from that day. Of course, I get them from your dad all the time when you're on bites.
So what's the old Jacksonville slam? We got a flounder, trout, red?
Yep.
That's it?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
And you caught all those on artificial that day too, right?
No, we had the fish bites, of course.
Yeah.
We had shrimp that day. But I was catching, dad was just running with the live bait, and I had the fish bites and the shrimp on there, and I was going catching.
So. I'm telling you, I know I talk about it every single week, and it's always on my Facebook page every day, but that fish bites is taking it to a different level, especially mixing it up. And their swim baits and their curly tails are amazing. So
yeah,
it's I didn't really, you know, I started working with Marty over at Fish Bites, and I kind of was introduced to it. But, you know, it's not super prevalent in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And it was actually your dad, I think, that came in and said, yeah, I'm catching them on Fish Bites. I'm like, I wondered, is that the thing that looks like a fruit roll-up? He said, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, really? And I said, I always wondered how people used them. And he started going through pictures and showing me giant bull reds and.
That's a big sheep's head.
Yeah, nice.
You're about 8 pounds.
And that's incredible. What a neat product they got. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome. I like. I usually when we go out and we do the lighter fish, I take my 3,000, and I absolutely love them.
That's awesome.
Has your dad given you a bomber long A yet?
What's that?
Has your dad given you a bomber long A to use in the pond, using the lake behind the house?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you need to get that stick bait. It's a swim bait that has three sets of trebles on it.
It was funny. That's called the Blue Flash. It's got a mirror inside of it. I have caught some big bass on the thing. And anyway, your dad was here on the phone one day talking to us on the show. And I told him, I said, go try that, because he said he was going to go outside and throw, you know, cast a little bit in the pond out there in the lake behind his house. And I said, well, take your bomber along out there and try it. And about 15 minutes later, he sent me a picture of a bass hanging off the bar. Oh.
That's awesome.
Proof is in the pudding.
Even though it's more of a saltwater bait from what people, you know, think about, you know, it works in fresh water so good.
I tell you, snook love them, too, that bomber long A.
Yeah.
Because, it you know, it looks like, you know, some type of bait fish, but the erratic movement and the paws, you know, I mean, I've caught a lot of them on it. Trout here love that. So do the redfish too. You know, it was weird. I saw a lot of this last week, and it really surprised me. Was redfish coming up out of really deep water feeding on the surface? Several times we saw it when we were fishing Saturday, and I was like, "What is that?" Because the way the sun was angling, I couldn't see it. Mm. And these were, you know, fish that were oversized, but not huge bull reds. But feeding on baits on the surface, and it's 22 feet of water where they're at.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's strange. So, you know, and of course, it was by the time we were hooking up left and right, fishing deep, and I was like, I wanted to grab a lure and start throwing it, you know, on the surface and seeing if we could catch them on the surface that day. But I was more concentrated on my clients hooking up.
Yeah.
So, Steph, are you going to play in a tournament soon?
Yeah, I've got a couple coming up. I've got a couple local and then big ones in Atlanta third week of June.
Nice. So,
you know, time to get ready. I've been playing. I played pretty good the other day. And so, yeah, it's good.
We need to get you a two-piece rod so you can stick it in your golf bag.
Yeah.
And then while you're out there, I mean, I watch all these guys that, you know, that play on the PGA Tour do it. I mean, on the practice rounds, they'll stop and fish the ponds.
Oh, there's some big bass in some of them.
I used to do it when I was playing full time. I would, and when I was home, I'd have the cart and just throw my bag on and, you know, my lunch and whatever I needed for the day. And I'd throw my rod in on the cart. So I had that on the other side. So when I was out on the course, I could, you know, throw a line out. And then, even when I traveled, I usually would take it. I'd try to find somewhere to go.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, golf courses always have the best fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because nobody can fish
there. I'd be happy to pay, you know, that fee to go out with a cart and fish the ponds.
Instead of playing golf.
I can't tell you how many golf courses I got kicked out of as a
kid. Oh, yeah.
And in Tampa, you know, they're all the ponds are full of tarpon and snow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so fun.
That's the way to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
a little bit bigger than bass.
They could make so much money off that.
Yeah, they really could.
I'm pretty sure at Stream Song, there's a fishing guide you can pay to go fish the lakes there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think they do all of that.
That's cool.
Man.
That's crazy. I mean, can you see it? Yeah. What are your lake fees? So that'd be $250 a round. You know.
Yeah.
So you get to fish 18 ponds.
You figure usually you're probably not going to buy bait. You're going to throw artificials.
Throw artificials.
Yeah. He doesn't have to have a captain's license. No. He don't have to pay insurance on a boat, commercial insurance on a boat or insurance on the truck, you know, and all that stuff. All you got to do is take him out there, man.
But I tell you what, if I'm out there golfing, nobody's safe. Yeah. Don't be by that pond. I promise you that.
Well, I've asked them at some of the courses, you know, to do like an event and everything and do a fishing thing like later in the evening or whatever. And they said the liability with gators and people getting hurt and everything else. I'm like, it can't be any more dangerous than walking down to pick up a golf ball next to a lake.
Yeah, really.
You know, reaching down. So.
Yeah.
But
that's a good idea for a facility.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Or the guys who are just super mad after the first couple holes, throw the clubs up, get a fishing rod.
Yeah. Nine holes and then go fishing.
Exactly.
Mine would be three holes. So maybe even the first hole.
Stephanie, you hear music coming. We're fixing your own break. I sure appreciate your call. It's nice
to
talk. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Steph.
See you, Steph.
See ya.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we'll be back after this.
Talk Radio, AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy says COVID vaccines will be made available at key airports in the state starting June 1st as he unveiled plans aimed at boosting Alaska's pandemic-battered tourist industry. In addition, the governor says he and other state leaders have been pushing to allow large cruise ships to return to Alaska after COVID-19 restrictions. In the meantime, the global death toll from the virus has now topped 3 million worldwide. That's amid repeated setbacks in the vaccination campaign and a deepening crisis in such places as Brazil, India, and France. The actual number, officials believe, is probably much higher because of possible government concealment in some areas. Wall Street, Dow was up 164 points. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm Chef Matthew Madure.
And I'm Chef David Madure.
We are the founders of Madure Brothers Culinary Concepts.
And creators of M-Shack, your favorite local burger place.
When we decided to branch from fine dining to open M-Shack, we knew we wanted to build a much better burger.
Hey, Matt, can you build a better burger with just toppings?
Nah.
Better condiments?
I don't think so.
A better bun?
It's like I said from the beginning, Dave, you got to grind your own meat.
You didn't say that in the beginning.
I did say that from the beginning, we had to grind our own meat.
Well, I agree. But what kind of top quality meat are you talking about?
Chuck and brisket, bro. What else is there?
Ha, I can't argue with that one.
And Dave, that's how you build a better burger.
M-Shack Burgers, Shakes, and More. It takes family to build a better burger. Let the M-Shack brothers build your family a better burger. Stop in for happy hour between 3 and 5 for $3 burgers, shakes, and more. Visit mshackburgers.com and order online. M-Shack Burgers. Let our family build your family a better burger. It's important to love what you do and who you do it for. And that's easy when you work at American Electrical Contracting. They're always looking for new ways to invest in their employees. This year alone, they've increased employee benefits by 25%, doubled their life insurance policy, and added an extra scheduled holiday. Plus, they offer tuition assistance for higher education. American Electrical Contracting focuses on excellence and professionalism. Pursue excellence personally and professionally at American Electrical Contracting. Hiring now. Call 737-7770. Visit American-Electrical.com.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Up to a 90% chance of showers through Tuesday. Cloudy skies with highs into the middle 70s, lows into the middle 60s. It'll be mostly sunny Wednesday and Thursday with high Wednesday 81, high on Thursday 71.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and look who we got on here. Captain Leon.
Captain Chaos.
How you doing, Leon?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well, indeed. Had a good week.
Good. Yeah, I've been seeing those pictures.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Plus, I'm now, as Chip would call me, Captain Cito of the Valley, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. Too, so. Poor Corey. I didn't tell Vic the story about Corey the other day. Corey's another guide we fish with. And Corey gets
he's
to
our,
the,
he's like our little kid brother. He's the greatest, but he's Corey.
We're getting, you know, we I wouldn't say mentoring, other than I'd say torturing, but
that's a good way to say it.
He's an awesome guide, and he's young in the business, and we've been helping him as much as we can, which is probably detrimental to him with us. But anyway, he pulls up to his first spot the other day and takes a butt out of gear and hears clunk, and his prop was gone.
Spun it?
No, the nut came off.
Ooh.
It's completely lost the stainless steel prop. Go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, that's not how you want to start your morning charter, you know, getting to your first spot, you know. In Port Quarry, I got the phone call. Hey, Leon. Hey, you going to be busy later today? No, why? Okay, cool. All right, I'll see you after your charter. Give me a tow.
And
thank God he went to the first location, and it was a great fishing area. So for 4 hours, he was on the trolling motor just bumping oyster bed and point for 4 hours with his client. So he got in a full charter fishing, great spots the entire day, and then only had to be towed a mile home.
Golly. So,
I'd say if there was a place for that to happen, that was it.
Yeah, you ain't the truth, man. Listen, things happen to everybody. I mean, like, what was the chip the week before? My trolling motor went full nuclear mode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It caught fire. It all happens, man, at one point. And there's nothing worse. Shoot, I'd rather have my motor go down because I can troll a motor around to all my spots or push. Dear Lord, you let that trolling motor go out, you're in trouble, you know, nowadays.
I was telling my father-in-law with trolling motors nowadays, when I have kids one day, he probably won't even know what an anchor is.
Yeah, right.
Nah. Nope.
Daddy, push the button.
Exactly. I don't remember the last time I used an anchor. I own one. I don't know where it is, but I'm certain that I do own one.
I might have it. I mean, I like
well,
to
if you have it. You can keep it.
I like to take them sometimes just to have when you're bull red fishing.
Yeah.
But now that I have a 36 volt, depending on what the current is, but I really want to use one this year tarpon fishing in shallower water with a float.
I agree with a floaty. Yeah.
So that we can sit there and then just immediately take off. You know, clip it and unclip it and then chase the fish.
Yep.
Mm. You know, so with you guys tarpon, are you guys like chunk baiting or?
It was some, well, Leon had him. We throw a lot of live bait at him in artificials, cool. But Leon sat on a spot last year and chummed him up. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, I got tarpon showing up everywhere. And I slide over with my client. First cast, we're hooked up and gone. And his clients are like at me. I'm like, I guess that's why you did that with the flounder to me the other day. But
hold on, Chip. Wait a second. Let's back up for a second. Let's tell the whole story to that one. Okay? I'm chumming up tarpon, and they're coming in. They're like puppies coming towards me. Chip's like, what you doing? I said, oh, I got some tarpon coming into me right now. He goes, hey, can you loan me a bait or two?
And I go, oh, yeah, that's right.
And I throw a singular bait to him, single bait. And he throws that thing out there, and it wasn't 30 seconds. And he picked up a big dog. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
That Florida Fishing Products reel was smoking, dude. It sounded so good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then we were off to the races because we peeled off and went and fought the fish for, you know, a solid 30 minutes.
You're sitting there shaking your head, I bet.
Well, you guys had already caught a couple that day, hadn't you?
We had some good hookups that day, some good jumps. It was all good. Indeed.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it seems like there's a little curse down in the valley right now between the three of us. And you know the guy that did the article, that came out and fished with me and did the article? He was down there fishing yesterday, and he had an electrical fire on his boat.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I had never really I told him, he called me. He's like, I'm good. But and he just sent me back a reply. They caught one little flounder and one rat red yesterday. You know, so, but he said it was, you know, electrical difficulties, and then he expanded it. And I was like, dude, all you had to do was call. I've broken down. Leon's towed me in. He's towed a couple other people in.
I'm next.
Yeah. Oh, the best was the day he comes over. I got stuck. And I very rarely get stuck because I don't go places that, you know, I know I'm going to get stuck or have the possibility. But so Leon comes flying in, and I misjudged where I was going. There's usually a groove there, and there wasn't, like when I hit it the other day. But so Leon pulls in, jumps out of his boat, starts trudging over through the mud. I'm out of the boat. My boat's already covered with mud. My client gets out of the boat. You know, we've got him, his wife, and the kids. Anyway, so we get unstuck, and then I get stuck again, and I get unstuck again. And then we get out, and then Leon gets stuck. And I can't go back over there with my trolling motor because I'm going to get stuck. So my client just strips down to his underwear, jumps in, and goes over and helps Leon. Right. And I'm like, golly, we need our own private towboat US or something out there. So,
what do you get stuck on?
I was in a creek coming out, okay. And the wind picked up, and it pushed all the water out. And, I mean, I was stuck. I mean, we had to rock the boat back and forth and then spin the bow around to try to get it out. We finally got it out. But
with as big a tides as you guys have, I imagine it happens quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can sit just on a regular tide. You know, when I say regular tide, not a full moon or a new moon, because the tides could be a foot, foot and a half difference, even more, whenever that happens.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
But anyway, hey guys, just whenever.
I hate to run. But
oh, go ahead, Leah.
I
understand.
But you guys have a wonderful day.
So thanks, you're not Leah. Fishing the hurricane today?
Not today, brother. I'm going to a Bucky game right now.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
I'm sorry I swallowed my drink wrong there.
But talking about the oyster beds, you can sit there and be waiting for the, you know, as the tide's dropping, mm-hmm. and you look out and you see the oyster beds, you see a couple of shells sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll just turn away from it and wait like 5 minutes and look back, you'll see about 30 shells sticking out.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's once those oyster beds start showing, it doesn't take no time until it just, you know,
yeah.
another 5 minutes, you'll see, you know, 8 foot wide oyster bed.
It happens really quick.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it looks like whenever you're sitting there, like from high tide, and you're waiting for that tide to start dropping,
mm-hmm.
the first couple hours or even or whatever before the oysters show, you look along the grass and you can look at it and go, maybe it's dropped, you know, a few inches, maybe. You know, when you're looking at that grass, it's just like you can hardly tell it. But when you see those oyster beds sticking up, man, it's like 5 or 10 minutes. It's a whole different world. You know,
it's either time to go or time to start fishing.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it when those shells stick up about 6 or 8 inches. Those fish get on the move. They start mm-hmm. getting out of those creeks. You know, they can feel that pressure, and they start getting out of the little creeks and out of the flooded grass and stuff like that.
I was telling you guys that first time I ever experienced it, I was down Amelia Island with Captain Jeremiah Juice Miller, and we were pulling a flat. We're actually fishing a tournament, a spot tournament with the Amelia Island Guide Association.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, we pull the flat, you know, catch a couple redfish, and then we turn around. By the time we turn around, I didn't even recognize the shoreline. He's like, I'm like, holy cow, it moved. You moved a whole Tampa tide in 10 minutes, you know? It's crazy.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, what a lively show you guys got going today.
I appreciate it. We're going to have to put you on hold here in a minute, though, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're fixing to go on break in just a couple minutes. But anyway, what you got going, Bill?
Well, I just finally got up in time. I've been haven't been fishing. I've been pretty much an embarrassment to real fishermen everywhere. You know, my boat's got a 6-inch slit in the bottom. I must have run over an oyster knife.
Yeah.
Given the exactness of the cut, and I'm.
So you haven't fixed it yet?
No, now I got another home project, but I've changed my order so the boat's next.
Oh, I was going to say, man, because that thing's been messed up for how long now? How many months?
Almost two.
Man, seems like longer than that.
Well, it was messed up longer than that. I was riding in it.
No, well, that's true. You just didn't know where the water was coming from.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought I did.
You know, they say the boats sink not because of the water around it, but because of the water in it.
Right. Or the idiot driving it.
Bill, let me put you on hold, okay?
All right.
All right, buddy. We'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
Are they?
And we're back this morning. We had Bill on patiently waiting.
Hey, Vic.
Are you patiently waiting?
Oh, yeah. That's all I am. Is, you know, I'm a picture of patience.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I know you take a lot of abuse about being the sultan of the waterways and stuff, but I think Chip should be king of the creek.
Yeah.
That's Leon.
About that.
That's Leon's king of the creek. I'd be more like chump of the oyster bar. So,
well, at least you're not the plenty king.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. And see, having that boat, you know, this is sheephead time, man. You need to get that boat fixed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, my wife shrunk the hatch cover. I have a hard time getting in there.
You know, the other thing is, you know, right now, I mean, we're looking at some of the big trout ought to be hitting right now.
Yeah, they.
I know. That's all I can think about.
You know, now and next month.
My honey hole is probably just jammed full of fish, begging, chanting my name. Where's Bill? Where's Bill?
Yeah, your honey hole may have some in there. I know they've been, you know, dredging right there at the mouth of Mill Cove and up and down. They've been doing some weird things, too. One of the banks there where we fish for trout. They've been dragging something on. There's a tugboat's got a barge he's pushing, and on each side of the barge, the cables go down, and they're dragging something on the bottom, and you can see the cables, I mean, vibrating like there's so much pressure, whatever he's dragging down there. I guess he's tearing the bottom up so the clam buckets can pick it up easier or something. I don't know, but I know 3 days now he's been working that area along all those docks right there at St. John's Landing, across from Brown Island. And he's just dragging.
Fish there,
he'll go down like five. I'm sorry?
we fish there, right?
Yeah. He'll go down about 500-600 feet, turn around, and go right back. Then go turn around and go right back. And that's what he's doing all day, every day, up and down those docks.
Wow.
It's just it's going to ruin that bottom from now on.
I mean, that's a great place to fish, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember when the tide changed, I was fishing. I usually hit the docks around the launch ramps when I leave if there's nobody around, if it's a crappy day.
Yeah.
And the water turned from clear-ish, you know, as clear as we get,
yeah,
to chalk milk in about 20 minutes when the tide changed from that dredging.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I also want to mention when you were talking about the Blue Bomber, I had to go do some domestic duties, but, you know, flounder. I caught two flounders, two casts with those things when I was trout fishing one time.
Really? Let me tell you, I love catching flounder on them because, you know, with flounder, if they grab a mud minnow, you know, you got to give them a little bit of time to turn, you know, kill it, turn it around. Same thing with a big mullet or anything. But, man, with that bomber, when that flounder hits it, he's hooked. You know, I mean, because he's got that treble hook on the back of it, and, I mean, he's just hooked, you know.
Well, two with two casts is a pretty good testimony.
Oh, yeah. I love catching flounder on a bomber. You know, you're not going to do it in 6 feet of water, but you can certainly do it in, like, 4 feet down to, you know, 2 feet. You just kind of have to really watch it if you're using it in 2 feet of water because, you know, the thing will go down and grab the bottom. But
I was getting a few snags in that spot. It's down by one of them big bridges, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that lure. Cast like a potato chip. There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so light. But there again, if you hit a rock or something, you know, you don't, if you don't jerk it like a lot of people do, set the hook in the rock. But if you don't do that, you just kind of give it a little wiggling and that thing will float right back up and then keep on working it.
So we have, I've caught a couple of flounder in Tampa Bay, but, mm-hmm. you know, nothing sizable and it's kind of random. You never really know. It's like, whoa, there's a flounder. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys can actually, you know, target them here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a fall flounder run, which this year is going to be kind of weird because they just changed the rules on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 10 per person, 12-inch minimum, which is crazy. I mean, there's no meat on a 12 or 13-inch flounder.
Yeah.
But now it's 5 per person and 14-inch minimum.
Cool.
But they're closing it down for 6 weeks right in the middle of our fall flounder run. Mm.
You know, and that's where
they're trying to protect them. And I understand, you know, that. And I fully go along with the 5 per person.
Uh-huh.
14.
And the inches.
And the 14-inch minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
But the closed season, and they're going to allow the commercial giggers and all that commercial fishermen to still catch them through that time.
That's ridiculous.
But recreational can't keep one for 6 weeks. And that's right in the middle of October. To the end of November.
But you can still go stab one with a harpoon?
Well, if you're a commercial, if you got a commercial license, you know.
If you have a whaling ship.
There you go.
Yeah, and I just don't get that part, but I think they ought to have looked at the 14-inch minimum, the 5 per person, and give that a few years, and let's see what the assessment is. That's got to help the population.
Absolutely.
And then to turn around instead, making that plus that closed season, and making the closed season right when – that's usually Kale here is from Tampa Bay area, so he don't know about our flounder up here, but our fall flounder run is your big flounder.
What's a big flounder? I don't even know.
Oh, it could be, you know, 8 to 16 pounds.
Whoa.
You know.
Jeez. Was that like 25 inches?
It's rare to get like it'll get bigger than that. But, of course, they get a lot thicker, too, rather than getting longer once they get that big. I don't know what's the biggest one you ever – yeah. They call them doormats up here. I don't know what the biggest one you ever caught, Chip, but I know.
Over 10 was the biggest. Actually, over 11, actually.
How long is that?
I don't even remember how long they were. I mean, they vary because some of them are really thick.
Oh, really?
But you're talking.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big flounder.
That's cool.
I was shoreline fishing before I was guiding and never caught any this big before. But in late October, there was. Couple of guys I worked with and myself went out and we were just wade fishing and I caught a 13.5 pounder and then went back the 2 weeks later we had the same tide and caught a 14 pounder.
Whoa.
And then that's the biggest I've ever caught, and then I've never even been over 8 pounds since then.
And they're really good to eat too, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Are they similar to like grouper, where the bigger they get the kind of gamier they are, or
no?
They're
just I think they get better.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they
and easier to fillet.
Yeah, a lot easier to fillet.
Oh, yeah, Bill. Think about that.
Yeah, but anyway, so this year is going to be a big change. Chip's going to have to change his Flounder Pounder tournament. But it's going to be a big change for everyone because we're so used to being able to fish in that fall flounder run. That's when the mullet run and the big flounder come in to eat the mullet as they're leaving the river.
Okay.
But that, you know, that's going to be, I guess the commercial guys are going to, you know, hit, you know, bank then during then because, I mean, there's going to be no competition.
Yeah. You know? I mean, so. I'd be interested to see, you know, what the commercial guys pull from the resource flounder-wise, you know, during that time, and how much the, you know, recreational guys would pull from that time. To me, the commercial guys pulling way more, right?
Well, that's been a big thing back and forth. Yeah, that's been a big thing, a big argument, so to speak, between, you know, between people like that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, flounder aren't like catching the trout or, you know, a catfish. You got to know. Most people, I think, pull the bait out of their mouth because they're difficult to catch. They're hard to net.
If you bring them out of the water, bring their face out of the water, they're going to spit the hook right at you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to keep him in the water and get the net under him.
Okay. I think it's easier to catch them on artificial than it is on bait.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're throwing a spinner bait. Oh, yeah, if you're throwing a spinner bait, the bait's moving. When he bites it, if you notice where a flounder a lot of time bites, he bites mid-body. You know, and he's hooked. If you've got a spinner bait with a jig on it, he's hooked almost immediately. You know, and that's one of the ways I love to target them is down bank lines with spinner baits.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I'm
like a Mighty Mite kind of thing.
No, I throw a bigger spinner bait. You know, Mighty Mite's too small for me for flounder. I want something that has a 3/8 ounce jig head. So.
Hey, Bill, I hate to cut you off. I've got one more person out here. Need to get him on within 2 minutes here.
Cut me off. Thanks, guys. Good show. Right, bye-bye.
Have a good day, man.
Whoops. Hey, Dick.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, we only got about a minute here.
Good morning, brother.
I understand. Hey, big fan of Florida Fishing Products, the 2500 and a 4000, and use some friends' 5,000s for when we're bull red fishing, amazing rods. And also had the good fortune of getting out with Chip twice, once with my son and once with a friend. And Chip's an amazing guy.
Yes, he is.
He's got worked so hard.
Absolutely.
I'll pay you later.
All true. No kidding. Chip worked real hard for the clients, and he's never let us down.
He's the man.
Yep. So if anybody would like to get a hold of Chip, 904-614-4989. That's 904-614-4989. Call Captain Chip Wingo and get you on him. I appreciate it, Dick. Hate to make it so short, but give us a call again sometime.
Understand. Thanks for getting me on. Great show as always.
Thank you, sir. And appreciate you coming in, Cale.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Great show. Appreciate
it. Stoked to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
If you ever get to town again, let us know.
Yep, and you guys come to Tampa. Come on.
I'm going over there. I got to go see the shop.
Yeah, come on by, brother.
And as always, please take care of our sponsors. They're the ones that keeps us on the air. And make sure you...